both lived in Pori. I was dancing. It was summertime, and it was beautiful.
Beside the river.
Yeah, beside the river. Yeah. All of a sudden, he came and asked, "Can I hold your
overcoat?
Because you go to the..." I said, "All right." And then when I finished dance, he said to me, "Can I take you home?" I said, "All right." Yeah, and it started like that.
Pori is a rural town on the west coast of Finland, and it's where we're heading today on Earshot. Hello, Kirsty Melville here. And when I say Finland, what comes to mind? Nokia? Santa Claus? Content teachers? Or a shy and reserved people? All stereotypes that have floated out across the waves to us here in Australia. But for the small migrant community living here, only about 4,000 people, Finnishness is defined in much more intangible ways. Earshot producer Miyuki Jokiranta is a full-blooded Finn. And although she's never lived in Finland, she claims her ancestry at every turn. And like many migrants, she has a complicated relationship to the idea of home, both real, imagined, and constructed.
It's Wednesday, and I'm in the Finnish Hall in Altona, in the western suburbs of Melbourne. I've had a cup of coffee and a cinnamon bun that reminds me of weekends spent baking with my mum, stretching, rolling, and pressing out dough to form swirls called korvapurstit, or a slap on the ear. A warning for little girls that like to steal a pinch of dough before it was cooked. With me is Jori Tossavainen, the president of the Finnish Society of Melbourne.
It's a cultural club. It was formed in 58. The Finns on those days, I think they sort of felt that they wanted to do something together. This place here in Altona was opened officially in 1974. We had four dinner dances a year. Now we haven't got no dinner dances at all. And, you know, we just have some, you know, barbecues and some lunches. Also our retirees or the elderly members, they get together every, you know, Wednesday.
There's also a circle of seniors, mainly women doing calisthenic exercises to children's songs. The men have gathered round the pool table.
So tell me about the decision to come to Australia. Why did you think Australia?
Yeah, it was 58, and he came once from work and he said, "I think we should move to Australia." I said, "I don't think so," because I didn't really know anything about Australia.
The trip was long for Ritvan Kalervotuominiemi. A ship to Sweden, a train to Denmark, another ship to London, and finally they boarded the Himalaya, which brought them all the way to Australia and ended up, like many immigrants in that period, in the Bonegilla Migrant Reception and Training Centre in Victoria, waiting to take their first steps into their new home.
But after maybe 1 week, he got a job. So he could come to Melbourne and go to Maribyrnung Hostel. He rang to me when I was still with girls in Bonegilla, and he said, "I think we go back to Finland." I said, "Don't say like that, you know. You wait until we come too, you know."
I was alone in a modern hostel.
Yeah, it felt so lonely.
So after deciding to stay in Australia, you did actually try to move back to Finland.
Yeah, we thought first. But we stayed only 1 year. And then we came back here.
We've been back 3 times.
For
good to Finland. We have so much homesickness. Nothing wrong with Australia, but our homesickness was so great.
What drives a couple after such a long journey across the world to pack up their house and try to move back 3 times? Gertrude Stein wrote, "There is no there there," when she learnt her childhood home in California had been replaced by an industrial park. The idea that once you leave home, it changes forever. Sometimes physically, sometimes in less concrete ways. So if there is no there there, what were Ritvan Kallervo searching for? Over time, the idea of Finland has ballooned in my mind, like a utopia I haven't had the chance to explore. So I'm heading north to find and maybe even shatter my utopia, my there.
Behind me there's a cascade of wheels rolling across asphalt, rushing towards the train. We're all going to the tango festival in Seinäjoki.
The Seinäjoki Tango Festival in the rural northwest is the largest gathering of tango dancers, singers and lovers in the world. Much larger than anything you'll find in Argentina, this year about 100,000 people have descended on this little town. There are multiple stages to hear multiple dance bands, swirls of leopard print, purple fascinators, tracksuit pants and outrageous cowboy hats. The fashion is a mix of comfort and panache. Here in the height of Finnish summer, the streets are covered in people dancing all around the clock. Here in the 22 hours of daylight, you can ask that someone to dance while the sun sets at 2 a.m.
No niin, hei, sitten, tulkaa penkeistä ylös. Saatiin kaikki tuolla toisenkin puolella sitten oikeisiin saleihin.
Okay, now we will dance Finnish tango. And the guys start with left foot and girls start with right foot. And the rhythm is slow, slow and quick, quick. And you do three walks forward, one, two, three, and at four you close the foot and change. In Finnish tango, we dance very close. Sometimes our cheeks are together and the girls' eyes are closed, and it's very close hold, like hug.
Kati Kainulainen is a professional dance teacher. She's giving lessons by day and performing on the stages at night. I took one of her classes, which was a little awkward. 6 foot me towering over the men. But slowly shuffling around the room, tango got its hooks into me. And later that night, I'd break into the steps in the street as I watched the sea of couples pressed against each other, dancing to what seems like their heartbeats as much as the music.
Kirsti Hakala.
Väinö Siuruanen.
Ja missä me ollaan? Tangomarkkinoilla, tietysti.
Kirsti and Väinö have been coming every year for 20 years, and they just love the feeling of the town enveloped in music.
Mehän tanssitaan monta kertaa viikossa noin niinku talvisaikaankin.
Erja dances every week, in summer on open air stages and gazebos, and winter, whoever's got their doors open. Someone once said, if you give dance even your little finger, it'll take your whole hand. Marko and Arja occasionally dance Argentinian tango, but when you hear traditional Finnish tango echo across a riverbank, see, our tango is the everyman's dance. It's not artful like Argentinian tango. It's easy to learn and anyone can do it.
Tango music is a little melancholic. It tells about heartaches and jealousy and things like that. It's a lot of love and drama in Finnish tango music.
So the music has ultimately led the dance?
Yeah, yeah.
This might be a tough question to answer, but I'll ask it. Why do you think tango is so important to a Finn?
That's easy one, because we are very shy population. Population, yeah, thank you. And when you dance, you don't have to speak. You can take the girl in your arms and you can show our emotions with the dance. When you dance in really close and your eyes are closed, the music is great and the feeling is good with your partner. He will dance you to the dancing heaven.
Yes, kiitos, applaudit, tanssi kaveri.
I'm Petri Ikkelä. I'm musician and accordionist. I'm playing in the orchestra, which is playing in the competition.
The festival also has a competition to find the year's tango king and queen, who will travel around Finland singing at country dances. It used to be the largest TV event of the year. And though we couldn't see the broadcast in Australia, a CD of the winners' songs would arrive in our mail within weeks. And if I stayed up late enough, I could catch a glimpse of my parents dancing in the living room to the music. Slow, slow, quick, quick.
Tango came to Finland from France, but it had some influences from German, so there's some items of marching. In 1920s, we didn't have any recording studio in Finland, and then we went to Berlin or London, and the orchestra was local orchestra, and so the influences of continental European tango came to Finnish tango. And tango was the first worldwide musical style.
If we have German, a slight German marching to it, what has Finland then imported into the tango?
Our folk songs are actually tangos. The melody lines, the structure of bars, the measures are exactly tangos. Finnish folk song was the mother of Finnish tango.
So that's why tango is so everywhere in Finland, because it's picking up on a tradition that was already here?
Somehow, yes.
You know, this term melancholy comes up, this term nostalgia, these kinds of bittersweet senses often get put on Finnish tango. Do you feel that when you play?
The golden years of Finnish tango was those years after the Second World War.
During the Second World War, Finland lost significant territory to the Soviet Union. About 3% of the population died defending our borders. And we were still a poor rural nation of urban workers and struggling farmers.
And I think that might brought some sad, melancholic feelings into these songs.
Has that stayed?
Yeah, we are still sad.
Can you explain the importance of this piece?
Well, that Satuma Fairyland, I believe it's in English, it's the most known tango. It's easy to sing somehow. So there's a land somewhere over the ocean.
Where waves wash on the shores of happiness.
Missä kukat kauneimmat luo aina.
Where beautiful flowers always blossom. Where worries of tomorrow can be forgotten. If once I could go to that fairy tale land, never would I leave from there like a bird.
I'm in the Tikkurila library and I found myself in my own private karaoke booth. So I'm going to try and sing Finland's greatest tango, Satuma. So first of all, I need to turn my reverb up. Check, 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 check. Have I got enough reverb? Enough? Reverb, reverb. Here we go. Satuma by Reijo Taipale. See, earlier in the week, I'd hesitantly written my name down on a bit of paper and stepped into the spotlight of Finland's other little-known pastime, karaoke. Walk into any bar in Finland, small, medium, or nightclub, and you'll find a stage and an audience encouraging you to sing along to a Casio keyboard instrumental of your favourite ballad. The seven barflies in that little pub didn't seem to mind my jarring impersonations of Finnish heartache, but I did. So I booked myself in for a private session.
We started this karaoke experiment about 1.5 years ago. Basically, you can book the rooms anytime when the library is open, and sing karaoke privately or with your friends, or it's all soundproof so no one can hear what you're doing there. So my name is Ville Karinen, and at the moment we are in the Tikkura Library Music Department, and our idea was to how to improve people's possibilities to practice music. Karaoke is a very low threshold service that basically anybody can sing. Usually people sing karaoke in bars and pubs, and you know, there's alcohol involved, and but our idea here was that singing is fun even without drinking.
But there is something, I mean, if you talk about the Finns being quiet, it's a bit counterintuitive. It's a bit odd that you would go from just sitting quietly to standing in front of a group of people and singing.
I think people have, everyone has kind of a inner need to, you know, come out and say that I'm here, kind of. It might be difficult to start a conversation with total strangers. But if you go to the sing after that, it's maybe easier. Someone can come and say, well, nice done. And so I think it's just a way that you can go, here I am, you know, kind of, look at me.
Karaoke flooded Finland in the 80s and 90s, when the restaurant culture changed as more pubs and bars came onto the scene. Bars couldn't afford to book bands every night, so the people rose to the challenge.
So it's kind of a very democratic way of creating, you know, your evening program, because everyone can participate.
That's a very Finnish value, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe something like, it's not that someone is just performing there and setting himself, herself higher than others. It's more like, you know, we can all do this.
Thank you, Finland!
This old dance music, it's something to do with the Finnish kind of identity, with especially this classic like Satumaa. We have all heard them since our childhood, so I think it's part of our kind of a way our identity is constructed. Music has a big role in creating national identities.
Do you sing karaoke?
Yes, every now and then.
What do you sing?
I like this kind of old Finnish dance music classics, like Olavi Virta, and it's kind of something that I know without practicing, because, you know, it's something that's been playing in the radio, and because it's kind of somewhere in our backbones.
Täysi puu, kun hänet löydät, jota kaipaan minä niin.
Täysi puu, valkovuokot, kohtalon tango.
The Suomalaiset romantic melodies, you know, the songs.
When it was our 60th wedding anniversary, our youngest daughter did this. And look, our favorite music. Lilian Kukka, Satumaa. I still call Australia home.
Uh-huh.
Mm, yeah.
When did you finally not start trying to move back to Finland?
76 was the last day.
Then we thought, enough is enough.
Yeah. And then my half-sister rang us and said, you better come without furniture once here too.
Holiday.
Yeah. 97 we went.
And have you been back since 97?
No.
Why?
That's enough. It wasn't same anymore.
No, we feel Australian, and but we can still remember when we were young, little and young, you know, skiing and dancing. Just remember things like that, but no missing.
Actually, that one there is gonna be a storeroom. And then our changing area here.
Is there a younger community coming through?
We have had lots of difficulties to try to get our younger generation to start taking part and participate in the club activity. Two showers and then the main room. This is the sauna. Which birthday. Bench is gonna be new generation of the Finns who coming here through marriage. They marry Aussie bloke or vice versa. They living in a lot of apartment buildings. They haven't got no place to put the sauna in, and there's not many places where they can go to the sauna as a family unit. And then the younger generation started, you know, pushing us that, you know, we have to build a sauna.
And so Jori and the Finnish society did. In proper sauna, or maybe you know it as sauna etiquette, no swimsuits allowed. My parents first took me in at 2 weeks old, and I've tried not to miss a weekly visit since. The saying goes Finns are born and die in the sauna. It was the cleanest room in the house for births, and where the deceased were washed in preparation for their final journey. It's our oldest and most modern form of worship.
Saunassa ei saa nauraa, siellä ei saa laulaa, siellä ei saa harjoittaa haureutta, eikä siellä myöskään saa pienestä.
We are here in the middle of central Finland, the place called Latokartano, and we're going to have a smoke sauna.
Karita Harju is a sauna hobbyist. She goes at least 4 to 5 times a week. She's the executive director of a company that promotes the authentic Finnish sauna. And we've travelled to an old forest manor that has an enormous smoke sauna that takes a whole day to heat up to temperature. The stove is taller than I am and filled with over a ton of soapstones warmed up by a fire. A wood smoke smell clings to the walls and a quiet reverence falls over us as we climb onto the creaky benches and feel the heat sink into our skin.
I know that sauna has been in Finland more than 10,000 years. Finns didn't invent the sauna, but I think the Finnish people are the ones who made it our own. Almost every household has got a sauna, and we have more saunas than cars in our country. So I think it's something about our dark and cold winters, but it's also about the social things that we wanted to share with our families and our friends.
This idea that the best conversations happen in the sauna, is this true?
Yeah, we talk about this sauna diplomacy that our prime ministers and former presidents, they went to have like the big conversations with other big persons from the all over the world. They went to the sauna. In the sauna, you can be equal with everybody because you don't have any titles, and you can be just who you are, equal, and to be present at the time.
Today we're going to a smoke sauna.
Yeah, the smoke sauna is different of the normal sauna because you warm up the sauna with the smoke. The smoke is inside for 4 hours, and then you just open up the chimney and the smoke goes out, then it's ready for the bath. There are a lot of people that they are always like, the smoke sauna is the real sauna.
Jos ei tänään se sauna, niin ei ilmosna ikänä kuuna herran vaakiona.
People don't know all the things that you can do in the sauna. So sauna therapists are like the old traditional guides for the Finnish sauna.
Before we entered,
Bertta
Pon Tikka, her healer name, handed us a shot of bright red liquid and a few fresh branches from a young tree.
Meillä on tänään koivu ja tuo puolu. Meillä on kaksi ainetta.
Today we are using the birch and the lingonberry. The red drink was lingonberry juice for strength, and the birch branches for the aromatherapy oils in the sap. The tradition of healers goes back hundreds of years, when we were forest people.
Ne taas tulevat sieltä minun lapsuudestani, minun mummoni kertomana.
I learned it from my grandmother by word of mouth. To begin, you bless the sauna. you enter with humility. Then, to get a good steam, you have to coax it out of the sauna. Steam is the stone's breath, the earth's breath. Then you can begin the healing with specific spells. And when you are done, you must thank the steam.
Berta asked the room of sauna goers, about 10 of us, if anyone had an ailment or a wish. And the young woman sitting and sweating next to me said, "Can I wish for a man?" "I have just the thing," Berta replied, "a spell."
Kyllä suhasia tulee, mitä tullo Turusta ja toiset pojat Torniosta. Ja minkälaisia nousoo päälle nostamata. Panno läppeen käs.
Now, in July, we have been together 71 years. When he looked after my coat, and then it started there.
As I got to know my utopia, it did get smaller. Vast geography shrank to actual size. My Finnishness, so exotic here, there is just a part of the furniture. And my special childhood treats, I could pick them up at the corner store. I found my there, but it doesn't exist in a place. Slow, slow, quick, quick. This year, Finland celebrates 100 years of independence. The community has been preparing all year long for a big gala dinner in the centre of town. And I've got a seat on Ritva and Kalervo's table.
I always say that he's world's best husband. He said to me, "Don't say it all the time." But I like to say because he's still...
Actually, it's true.
It's true. It's true.
Last Tango in Satumaa was produced by Miyuki Jokiranta and the sound engineer was Melissa May. And there are some gorgeous photos on the Earshot website of 100,000 Finns dancing tango in the 2 a.m. sunlight. Or if you're curious, you can see what a sauna healer looks like. Thanks for listening to Earshot today. I'm Kirsty Melville, and I'll be taking a wee break from presenting until the end of the year to work on a few projects, but I'll be back with you over RN summer with all the best of Earshot. In the meanwhile, keep listening. We'll still be bringing you all of our usual fabulous stories. See you soon.